have the confidence in yourself, in your ability, in your experience, especially when we're talking about ageism, you know, like 50 plus, the years of experience that you have and what you bring to the table is amazing. And if a company does not see that, there are companies out there who will see that and will recognize that.
Welcome to 50 Not Dead. I'm your host, Cameron Hubian. In this podcast, we make the invisible dramatically visible by exploring the biases, freedoms, challenges, and the power that come from being female and 50. Watch out, world. We're not dead yet.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Cameron. Thank you for listening to 50 Not Dead. This is a place where we get to hear women's perspectives, experiences, and ideas on ageism and womanhood. Today, I am so happy to introduce Miriam Olgun. Miriam is an executive business manager at Bloomingdale's, and she's an influencer in her own right. I reached out to Miriam because what I noticed was the content that she was posting on LinkedIn about management was so honest and so open and authentic. I just thought that she was a superstar right off, and I've met her and I love her. You are going to love her too. Miriam, welcome to the show. Please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who Miriam is when she's not the executive business manager.
So first of all, thank you so much for the warm welcome. I appreciate it. I am a little bit about myself. So I am a mother of four. I'll start with that because I have four little ones who, when I'm not at work, pretty much take up my time. I am actually originally from New York. So I moved to PA about 8 years ago and have been enjoying it ever since. I've been in retail specifically. That's my specialty really for 20 years now. So it's been a long road, but I've been fortunate enough to work with some really great companies along the way and to really just learn a lot, right, on my path on management and how to deal with people and kind of growth and finding myself along that path, which has been really nice, which is why I tend to post so much about that on LinkedIn, because it's like these are my day-to-day things that I'm finding out and discovering. And so it's like, okay, let's share this as someone else might be going through, you know, a similar situation. I'll tell you a little bit about my background and a reason why I'm so passionate about what I do as well. So I am actually half Puerto Rican and half Turkish. And my grandmother actually moved to New York City from Puerto Rico when she was like 16 years old with her three girls, of course, my mom and my two aunts. And started her life over, kind of left in, you know, an abusive relationship, right? And started her life over here in New York and truly started from the bottom. Like, I mean, you know, having to sleep on benches and shelters and everything until she was able to kind of get on her own feet, right? And her strength and her determination and her power is something that I love to carry with me and that I love to, I think, push forward and move forward. I think it's just women are capable of so much when we put our minds to it. And it's something I'm super passionate about. And I love helping people. So it's just something I've always carried with me.
I love that you keep that story near and dear and that you shared it with us. I know that when we talked before, I was blown away. I mean, to the roots of your story and the roots of your passion are raw. I mean, that is, you know, to come to a country at 16 with three kids and literally, like you said, start from nothing. And I know that that isn't necessarily a unique story in itself because a lot of people have done it, but it's still a unique story for you. And it's really inspiring to have you show so much appreciation for that and to see that struggle and embrace it and believe in the strength that she's shown in terms of raising her girls and bringing up a wonderful family. And then you said also too, then your mom worked really hard. And now here you are as a mom of four, also working really hard. And what I really in our previous conversation, what I loved is, as you said, and you just mentioned it again, your passion for helping women shine, break through barriers, be the best that they can be, and that you've, you know, in your family witnessed firsthand that it's absolutely true.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, her struggles and my mother's struggles, right, gave me the opportunities that I have today that I probably would not have had otherwise. So I think that there has to be respect for that. And it also has to be something that you pay forward.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you have an idea of a unique way of potentially paying that forward. Would you like to share about that?
Yes. Yeah, so I will tell you, it is in its very early stages, but so my idea is I would love to actually start a consultation business for women specifically, you know, of all ages, really, to help them get what they deserve, if that makes sense, when it comes to contract negotiations and salary and being in the right position, to help them feel confident about what it is that they have and can offer to people moving forward. So I think that as a hiring manager and in that hiring process, I have been in a situation where I have seen many women shortchange themselves, right? I have seen many women say, this is what I need and what I'm asking for, but I'm willing to take this because, you know, they don't have another option. And you don't have to do that. You really don't. You need to be confident in yourself and what you bring to the table. And I think when you're going through this interview process, it's so delicate. And everything you say and do, even just how you represent yourself, matters. And I feel like there's a lot of women out there who could just use that guidance and that coaching. And so that's what I would like to do.
I love it. You're so well equipped for it, for one, as a manager, and being, and not just a manager, but an executive manager at a major, major store at Bloomingdale's. Okay. The fact that you have this lived experience, like every day, and that was also too what drew me to you on LinkedIn, was the fact that you're not afraid to point out where people can improve, including yourself, including your own company in practices. And that is what I thought was so cool. And when you talked about starting this business to help women with those specific skills, I think it's fantastic. I think there is absolutely going to be a fantastic response for that. And I hope that, you know, people listening, please do find Miriam on LinkedIn and follow her. She writes great stuff. And there's going to be a consultancy business one day, and she is very likely going to be in a position to help you out with some really great tips. So, Miriam, when I reached out to you about this podcast called 50 Not Dead, what did you think?
So I was so intrigued by it. And I know, like, we had this conversation, like, you know, I'm not 50, I'm 38, but in my experience, right, I have dealt with everyone, right, from 50, 60, 18, 20-year-olds, and I can absolutely see the difference and the disparity amongst the age groups and how they can be treated differently. So I thought it was a very interesting topic to speak on, because it does, ageism does exist, you know, and truly it exists both ways, you know. Even me as a manager, when I am starting a position, and if I do have people in my group and my leadership team who are older than me, sometimes it takes time to gain that trust, and it takes time for them to understand that I can teach them something, and I do have something that I can bring to the table that they have not learned before. And in the same aspect, when you have a younger generation who may be working with someone that is older than them, they have to understand that that's life experience, right? They've been doing what they've been doing for quite a long time. There's so much that you can take away from that and learn from that, if you're just willing to be open-minded and to have those conversations.
And do you help build those bridges, would you say, to bring you know, sometimes there's a fear of from the younger generation to talk with an older generation. Maybe they're intimidated, or maybe they just feel like they have nothing to offer and they're outdated. And the same goes the other direction, where the older generation may look at the younger generation and feel really threatened by their likely tech skills, but that isn't a blanket statement. Not everybody who's young is totally tech savvy. Or they might be dismissive, right? Of like, oh, they don't know, you know, here's a brand new one. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, when you say, and I totally agree with you, that they both have something to learn from each other. Yeah. How do you encourage that in your business life?
Through training. I have my teams cross-train. I mean, that's the best way to do it, because so if I look at personally now where I am, right, at Bloomingdale's, my, I don't know, men's tailored clothing, right, shop, it is essentially run by older men. They're in their 50s and 60s, right? But the experience that they have when it comes to suiting, when it comes to measurements, when it comes to fabric, is amazing. And so when I have a younger person who's starting, who, you know, they don't know much about suiting, they've never done measurements, they've never done this, it's a great opportunity to cross train and say, okay, well, you're going to learn from these individuals and they're going to be able to teach you so much and take away that knowledge and then have that mutual respect that, like, I now know I can come to this person if I have a question, and then vice versa, right? So we also do digital sales. So maybe my younger generation is just, as you just said, tech savvy. They're good with digital sales. So then I can partner, you know, someone who is a little bit more mature with them so that they can learn and be comfortable with that. So I think you have to create that environment of cross-training and relying on one another to grow as a team.
Do you ever run up against resistance from either side?
No, because I don't accept it.
I love you. That's awesome. Okay. So it's just like, it's a given. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah. It's not accepted. You cannot be closed-minded. It's just, I won't accept it. You have to understand that there is something to learn from everyone.
Oh, I really like that. When you are, for example, having somebody in men's suiting train somebody who's new, do you introduce it to the gentleman who might be doing the training and suiting as an opportunity to mentor? Or is it more of just like, it's an expectation and that's just how it is at Bloomingdale's?
It's both, to be quite honest with you, because at the end of the day, this is, you are mentoring that person, right? Because even though it is an expectation that, yeah, we want to learn from one another, we have to teach one another, then there's a certain accountability, right? That falls into place that you're like, hey, I taught this person this. So now I want to follow up with them and I want to make sure that they know it and that they're comfortable with it. And if they have their first sale, I'm going to be there with them, right? In case they have any questions or something goes wrong. So I feel like it's definitely a combination of both.
Fantastic. It sounds like the ultimate perfect situation. Is there any ever feeling of competition there, do you think?
There is a feeling of competition because it's a commission-based role, right? So there's always going to be this idea of, you know, getting that sale, right? And getting that commission. But I think that at the same time, that competition lends itself to learning from one another. Because if you want to make the most money, you're going to have to know all your products and you're going to have to know it really well. And so you're going to have to lean on your team members to be able to learn those different product types.
Ooh, I love that. That, what a great way of looking at competition, because I can see how it potentially could go off the rails, right? It's like, oh, somebody who's older may feel threatened training somebody who's new and maybe super personable and just a natural salesperson, and then feel like, oh, crap, I just gave away all my special sauce.
You know, again, your client sales come into place, and client sales right now, everything's digital. So guess what? That's when you're going to lean on your younger generation, right?
Yeah. That's a great point.
You know, so that's why it just kind of goes hand in hand.
We were talking earlier that Bloomingdale's as a whole is what you feel to be an example of a place that actually treats ageism in a pretty healthy way in terms of, I should say, that doesn't give it justice, right? That's like, I don't mean treats ageism, but that Bloomingdale's policy and that the way they operate as a company is, in your opinion, doing a really good job of integrating all ages and mixing people together. You said it much more eloquently though.
I said, no, I, exactly what you said. Yes, I think that they do a really good job of having a diverse staff. You know what I mean? And there is no, I think, inequality in terms of how you're viewed because of your age. And this is from the management team down to the sales staff and colleagues. Everyone is very comfortable in who they are and representing themselves in who they are. Everyone understands that there is a learning from one another. I mean, personally, like if I look at the more mature staff that I have, and I say it all the time, I'm like, they have more energy than me. I mean, Jesus Christ, they are just like, they are such go-getters and they are such hard workers. And, you know, and we know that and we respect that. So there's never a point in the interview process or in the meeting process where we're like, I don't know, you know, they may be a little bit older. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up pace. It's like, no, we've seen them run circles around us, like, you know, so it's been fine.
I love that. And thank you. You have lots of energy.
I know 1,000%. I agree. Listen, 1,000%. I tell my staff all the time, I'm like, I want to be you when I'm older. I need to have your energy when I'm your age.
That's fantastic. At Bloomingdale's, like from the corporate perspective, with you being so open and with the company itself sounding like they do a very good job with this, is there an opportunity for you to reinforce this conversation of sharing within the company of how proud you are of that particular aspect? Because it seems to me that it is worth celebration. And I'm wondering, does that seem appropriate to you, or does it seem like an opportunity for you to share with senior leadership, hey, you know what, this is an area where I really do believe that we're doing something really right, and we can make a name for ourselves in it, not just that you want to be known for that, but it is a hot topic right now. I mean, because I talk about ageism, my feed is blowing up with ageism. So I don't know
right.
if it's just the algorithm, which I'm guessing that has a large part of it,
sure.
or if it's really as out there as what I'm seeing all of a sudden. But again, back to that question, do you feel that it's something that the company can celebrate, or that they do celebrate, or that you might be able to use it as celebration and drive that conversation?
I definitely think that I can drive that conversation. I don't think that we particularly lean on that or celebrate that as much as we should now that I look back. But yeah, absolutely. There's an opportunity there to say that, you know, it would be a fantastic place to work and a really great opportunity in that age range. Yeah, I think there is an opportunity to take that to senior leadership and say, hey, you know, we have something here that's special that we may not be voicing enough. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I love that. I think that, you know, kudos to you for recognizing it and celebrating it internally in your own department. But I think that, and you're not departments, plural. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love the idea and would so appreciate your being able to take that back to the senior leadership and say, hey, you know what? This is an area where we're actually doing really well. Let's, you know, let's say something about it. Let's, you know, let's lean into it because there are a lot of people that are talking about it. Would you let me know how that went?
Yeah, absolutely. Because especially, you know, in retail, you know that there is a part of it that can be so vain. And I think we all know that when we've been retail for so long. And I've come across quite a few companies that have done a really great job, you know, with that and have been open and honest about that. And I've come across a few companies who were the exact opposite. It was very, forget about age. It was down to like, what size did you wear? And like, how can you, you know, model our clothing and present that to the customer? And so it's a really, really tricky world to navigate. And I think you have to know like what companies and what brands are worth it and which ones you may want to stay away from.
That is such a great point. Because I would say that that retail and fashion in general, right? I used to think before when I was working in fashion, I used to think, oh my gosh, like so many young people want to be in this industry. Women especially, but not solely women. so many want to be in this industry, and everybody that I know in it, and this was a while ago, is totally miserable. I'm like, oh my God, like we need to do better for ourselves. And it shouldn't be a miserable place. And it shouldn't be a backbiting place or unhealthy place where you have to be a certain way, look a certain way, be a certain size, be a certain age to do well. Because I mean, fashion is creativity, right? And that is
right.
The more voices, input, sizes, whatever that you can bring to the table, in my opinion, is what can drive all of that forward. And I do hope that having people like you in the industry and having companies like Bloomingdale's that are celebrating good things, that we can help make fashion in general a place that is healthy for people to be, where they don't just feel like a number, that and that they're disposable, and that at a certain age, they're really disposable. And that if they don't look a certain way, or act a certain way, there's no place for them in it, because that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that the fashion world and the retail world has come a long way with that, you know, and we see it, right? We see it in advertisements now. You see the plus size model, you see, you know, Aerie that's doing the whatever you call it, filtered images, right? It's like, here's the stretch marks and the this and the that. And so there's a sense of realism now that companies want to put out there and be able to voice that to their customers. But if I look back 10 years ago, I mean, I remember having an interview with a young lady whom I thought was absolutely fantastic and had a great personality, would do great, and introduced her to my district manager. And when the young lady left, the first thing that my district manager said was, I'm pretty sure she's a size 10. She's not going to be able to fit into anything we carry. And it was just like, it was one of those moments where you're just like, so this is where I move on.
Good for you.
It's that light bulb moment where you're like, this is not the person I want to work for. This is not the leadership I'm looking for, you know? So
yeah. Good for you to have that wherewithal. My daughter is 11 and a half. And so she's in that space where she's outgrowing kids' clothes and she's coming into women's clothes. And we had the experience the other day. I took her shopping, back to school shopping, and the sizes ranged from 000. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and she was really struggling with the fact that at the beginning of the summer, she'd tried on a 0 and it fit, but the 2 was more comfortable. And then at the end of the summer, the 0 no longer fit. And I'm like, and this is a women's size. I'm like, who the hell? She's a slender 11-year-old. I'm like, what are we doing to women when we're like, okay, you know, my 11-year-old feels bad that she doesn't fit into a 0. Mm-hmm. How does the woman feel if she doesn't fit into a 000? Who the hell fits into a 000? And no disrespect for people that are just naturally thin and that size is for them, because people come in all sizes. But I know that it can be really challenging. And I love that when you saw somebody saw it really like blatantly called out, that you were like, time to move on. And not, you know, again, I don't mean to bash the industry, because I recognize people do come in all shapes and sizes, and thank God we're catering to more of them in a more realistic way. But I can still see, you know, it was heartbreaking to see my 11-year-old feeling sad that she didn't fit into a 0.
The one thing that I take away from being in retail, first of all, is that sizing is so inaccurate. It's ridiculous. Mm. Every company has, you know, you can be a 0 in Michael Kors and an 8 in Zara. Like, it is just so all over the place. So at the end of the day, like, if there's one advice, it's don't even pay attention to the size. Just pay attention to what makes you feel good and what you're comfortable in, because truly, sizes are completely all over the place when it comes to companies and retail. So,
that is such great advice. I love, love, love that, because what I was telling her is because of my time in manufacturing, I'm like, sweetheart, honestly, the same exact size can be different if it comes out of a different line. I mean, it should, if it comes out of a different factory, you know, it's like when tech packs go out and they're made in different countries, different factories, or from a different lot of fabric, there is a chance that the same exact thing could be different. And I really love what you just offered up, Miriam, was, and I know that we're totally straying from the age of our conversation, but I feel like this is still really well relevant to women, right?
You know, yeah, just wear what makes ourselves. You feel confident. That's it. Just as long as you feel badass, you're good to go. That's it.
Love it. Absolutely. I love it. I can't wait to introduce my daughter to you. I think that this has been super lovely and I really enjoy your perspective. And I love that you were so open to talk to me about this because as an accidental influencer, which I'd love for you to expand on that a little bit, it's important to me that this conversation happens at all ages and that it happens with people that have the impact to do something about it, to help us move this forward. So I really appreciate your time and your views, your openness and honesty. And before we go, I'd love for you to give me a little bit of or give us and our listeners just a little bit of an insight of like, how did you become an accidental influencer? Because 20,000 plus followers is nothing to shake a stick at. It's pretty cool.
I have no idea. So, like literally, I wish I had an explanation, but I think
every content marketer out there is going, oh my God.
I know.
I love it.
I think it was just honesty and it was authentic. And maybe it was just things that people wanted to hear and that they could relate to. Like it was, you know, hey, this is what I'm experiencing right now in retail, the environment that's changing. Like, what are we going through? And, you know, what should be done differently? And I think that it just clicked, you know, with people and I'm amazed and fortunate that they like have followed me and want to keep listening to this content. I mean, to me, it's like, I'm baffled to be quite honest, in a good way, but yeah, like I remember one of my first posts, you know, I was just posting about kind of like, just having like your own personal life, right? Outside of work and how things happen outside of work. You know, your car breaks down, your kid is sick, you can't come in, and how in retail, there has always just been the stigma of being like terrified to call out, right? Like, oh my God, like I can't, my kid is sick. Like, what do I do? Do I go into work? Do I not go into work? And so I just posted like for me as a manager and as a leader, like, just tell me, like, I don't like, that's perfectly fine. Like you have a world that exists outside of these four doors that are quite frankly, so much more important than what's happening within these four doors. And you have every right to just say, hey, you know what? I need to stay home with my sick kid and that's okay. Life goes on. And we all know that we can pick up the pieces and the store still runs and everything's fine. You know what I mean? So I think to just put this stigma of like, oh my God, how could you, or how dare you, to me, it's just wrong. And I think that post got like 18,000 likes. Like it was insane. Oh, but I think again,
18,000 likes, that is awesome. We love you because you're human. That's what I think is how you accidentally became an influencer, but how you're going to continue to be an influencer is by continuing in that vein and helping people and showing that you care and that you recognize as a manager that, my goodness, we are complete humans and we're multifaceted and we don't just operate within the four walls of the office or the store or the Zoom box, right?
Right.
That you know, that everybody has a life, and to have a manager and have a company recognize that and stand behind it and not be afraid to wholeheartedly embrace it and say, my God, I get it. I get that you have a life outside of here and I honor that. And don't be afraid to tell me.
I mean, right. Exactly.
That can really go far. And I applaud that. Absolutely. It was what made me reach out to you. And I can't wait to see what you continue to do, how you continue to influence. And I'm so excited to hear about if you do have this conversation with Bloomingdale's senior management. And I would say, celebrate yourself, celebrate you in this conversation. I'd love to hear back. I would absolutely love to hear back.
Absolutely. Thank you for the idea, because you're right. It's something that we can totally put forth out there that we haven't. So appreciate the idea on your behalf to push that forward.
Oh, my pleasure. Marian, before we wrap up, is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to make sure that you have an opportunity to share with the listeners, or that you would like people to take away specifically?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is don't sell yourself short. You know, have the confidence in yourself, in your ability, in your experience, especially when we're talking about ageism, you know, like 50 plus, the years of experience that you have and what you bring to the table is amazing. And if a company does not see that, there are companies out there who will see that and will recognize that. So don't sell yourself short, you know?
I love that. Thank you so much. Don't sell yourself short, people. You heard it here, and it is such a lovely gem to end on. Thank you so much. If you would like to reach out to Marian and see what she's doing, you'll be able to find her LinkedIn profile in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
If you'd like to share your story or your ideas on how to move this discussion forward, I would love to hear from you. Please feel free to contact me at Cameron@CameronHuban.com or visit my website, www.CameronHuban.com.